Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Good evening, this is the Arsenal Fan Show on Love Sport. With the guys from Gunners Town, Dave Seeger and Giles Anyan. I'm Matt Beadle, we're with you through to 8pm this evening. And it's all over, pre-season is done and dusted. We are looking ahead to the first game of the season against Newcastle. But crucially before that, the end of the transfer window, gents. What's going to happen?
Slamming shut.
It is slamming shut.
Yeah.
A lot of rumours this week about centre-backs.
Yeah, Raul's going to have to pull a rabbit out of the hat this week. I mean, he's done really well. I think we've done really well in the transfer market this summer. He's been a man of his word. But yeah, on the back of our last two pre-season games, at the very least, I think centre-half, just the defensive line, has to be reinforced with quality. 4 days left. Man United have just spent £85 million. I think... Bournemouth are quoted Nathan Ake, 75.
That's the one I've wanted all summer. Yeah.
Had you actually wanted Ake?
Yeah. Ake's always been both of us always been our first choice. We need a left footer.
Yeah. Isn't it funny after the cost of Harry Maguire and everyone saying how expensive it was that actually, do you know what? It doesn't look as crazy now because of the fees that they're talking about for Lewis Dunk, the fees that they're talking about for Nathan Ake.
Yeah, but they're because of the fee.
Yeah, absolutely. It all gets brought
inflated,
up.
Yeah.
But I mean, Arsenal are never going to pay £75 million for Nathan Ake. It's never going to happen, right?
No. Well, we're not even rumoured to be interested in him. That's just a personal preference. I think Giles and I are both quite... We want a natural left-footed centre-back. You know, we've always had right-footers playing on the left and we've always both wanted a left-footed centre-back. And he's the one with the Premier League experience. But I think the pressure's also come a little bit. It's not really been spoken about, but I think Laurent Koscielny's situation has not helped because had he stayed, even till January... I think we would have stuck and waited for Rob Holding.
Yeah.
But because we can't play Laurent Koscielny and Mustafi's confidence is completely shot, we are now in a situation where we've really only got Socrates and Chambers that anybody wants anywhere near the team, let alone to be our long term. And we've got Saliba for next year. So it is just that one season thing. And all the fans, I think, barring very few, rate Rob Holding, who's going to be ready. He's played 60 minutes this week.
Yeah, he played the under-23.
So it's a big decision to go out and spend £70 million on someone who's really a stopgap, although I'm sure Arsenal fans wouldn't mind.
Yeah.
Well, it's fine. I mean, we said at the start of the show that Daniel Rugani, he's obviously been mooted. Deyu Upamecano from RB Leipzig. Apparently, Arsenal have made a bid today, according to Bild, around €60 million. They're holding out for £70 million. It's a lot of money.
I understood the Rigani one until it became £50 million. I thought that, because they were talking about a two-year loan.
With a view.
Which made perfect sense because of the Holding situation and because we've already signed Saliba. To spend £75 million or £70 million, all the social media seems to be saying, or the Guardian said, an extra £10 million, that will get it done. So £70 million, it will get it done.
But I have no problem if it was a day out. I think he's going to be a world-class defender. And if we're looking at, say, Holding, Dayot and Saliba as our defensive trident for the next 8 to 10 years, that's fine.
It suddenly looks very good, doesn't it?
It suddenly looks very good,
and especially much better than what we saw at the Nou Camp because, listen, the Ashley Maitland-Niles mistake is a mistake. That happens, a bit of miscommunication. Mm. Better to get them done in pre-season than when the season starts. But the Suarez goal. Why are you laughing at me, Dave?
Ashley Maitland.
Ainsley Maitland-Niles. Crikey.
He's trying to get Man United in. He's trying to slip in Man United. He's Man United
Riley.
Right back.
You wait for me to finish my sentence before you corrected me on that. I get Deyu Upamecano correct and I don't get Ashley Maitland-Niles right. There we go. The life of a presenter. Okay, let's brush past it. Maitland-Niles' mistake.
Yeah. He played really well until that.
Absolutely, and I think you can just brush past that. But the second goal from Suarez, and, you know, Mustafi, it's really interesting when you watch it again, because Mustafi glances, he looks across the line, and then he looks at Suarez as the ball's coming over, and he's still miles off.
And
it.
Chambers was
and
as
Chambers,
well.
Yeah.
Caught between the two of them.
Yeah, it was just poor defending all around him. There's no pressure on the ball. You see your man, and maybe one's looking for the other, expecting the other to take responsibility. I don't know, but yeah, it was poor elementary defending.
Maybe that's why he hasn't let Jenkinson go. I always thought he could be a centre back.
it was awful defending. Great finish though, great finish, but yeah, awful but defending. And then,
just a second away from the defensive woes, I think the confidence we showed playing in the Nou Camp against one of the best teams in the world, with a lot of our first choice not playing. I know it's a pre-season friendly, but it's a fairly prodigious one. Prestigious even. And I thought we looked pretty good, to be all in all, for most of the game. Certainly going forward, we looked very slick, very great movement off the ball. Aubameyang's finish was just incredible, sensational.
Yeah, I mean, the move itself, and the fact, for me, Joe Willett was central in starting that move from the base of midfield. I thought he had an absolutely fantastic game last night. He was required to play in three different positions. And that's the coach saying to someone so young, look, I trust you. You can carry out my instructions on the field. I want you to do this, and then I want you to do that. It shows a level of football IQ intelligence for one so young. And I have to say, of the players that were coming through, he was the least heralded. He really was the least heralded.
Well, until Smith Rowe went on loan, he wasn't really getting a look at last season. Yeah. Smith Rowe was definitely, in Emery's eyes, seemed to be ahead.
Yeah, exactly. And it really, for me, it was the Blackpool game where he really shone.
Yeah.
You know, and he just looks a different player. And ever since he's, I mean, the Europa League final came on now, that cameo. And this pre-season, he's just sort of like grown in stature. And I think he's pushing.
I think we're just heading into the next section of the show very early here.
Well, absolutely.
I
just don't want to get rid of that Barcelona result.
We are going to discuss, obviously, Willock Nelson and Nketiah later in the show.
But we do need to get back to the defence.
And you're bang on. And it was quite interesting. There was another moment in that game where you saw, I think it was Chambers and Xhaka, almost try and do a bit of playing out the back. And it was an absolute shambles. Stepping over
to
the ball.
To be fair, I think it's one of the things Chambers does do quite well. I mean, with that exception. But he is confident when playing out of defence, which is certainly, we can't be said for all our defenders. But
I've got no problem with guys, them trying to play out of the back. It's just the execution.
Yeah.
You know, and you worry that someone like Xhaka, he's got no wing mirror, so he's always susceptible to being caught on the half turn. And possibly the same can be said of Chambers as well. It's that kind of having that aware, that 360 awareness that our players just seem to lack. They panic, and they lose all.
But that's a good point though, isn't it? Because we haven't had Lucas Torreira in the team yet in pre-season, and he is the. If Shaka's playing deepest right now, he won't be if he's even in the team, because Lucas Torreira should be that player, and he does have wing mirrors.
Yeah.
So that would take a little bit of pressure off the defence, because he's so much more mobile. I mean, Xhaka as a deepest midfield player is not mobile enough.
And back in training this week with Elneny, wasn't he, Torreira? So hopefully...
thanks for bringing us down.
You've got to bring him on there. A new look as well. He shaved it all right off, right? So he's a new look, a new Elneny perhaps.
Hopefully he's hoping the fans won't recognise him when he warms up.
But I think the other thing here is that the formation is the issue here, right? And the fact that you want to play three at the back. If it wasn't three at the back, it wouldn't maybe be as much of an issue.
I don't think we do. I mean, he's only played that half in the five or six pre-season games.
Yeah.
I think he needs to know he can play it, like he did at the end of last season, but I don't think he's going to start the season with three at the back.
So are we at a point here where Arsenal go, do you know what, okay, let's just suck it up. Holding has been getting minutes for the under-23s. Do we just get through the first two or three games? He'll come back and be next to Socrates, and then you've got your back too.
They played 10. I think Holding played 10 games in the Premier League last year. We didn't lose any of them.
Yeah,
I mean, he was. I know it's easy to look back through rose-tinted glasses. Oh, it was wonderful, because it was a bit like that. The fans were saying, "Oh yeah, well, we were all right till we lost Holding," but they were the same fans who didn't want him anywhere near the team. But he did come in. He did do well. He certainly wasn't any fans' bet at the beginning of the season to be a partner for Socrates, but he did, and he looked very good in a partnership with him.
It's interesting now that we're seeing Holding as this kind of, the one.
I've seen people saying he should be the club captain.
I think he will be down the line. I think he's got that aura about him. But, he's definitely seems to be the one that we're kind of holding a torch for, thinking, hoping that he's going to be the one that can
hold it. Holding for holding.
Yeah. Hold it all together, sort of thing. But he's grown. I don't know if you've seen him physically. He's definitely been in the gym. He seems to have grown physically. I'm really glad that he had that. I think he's ahead of schedule.
Mm. Oh yeah, definitely. You know? They were talking about November originally. Yeah. But yeah. I think you're right though, Matt. I don't think it is. All the fans would love to see a sign a centre back this week, and loan or signing. And everyone's so excited on social media with the links to Upper Meccano, whatever his name, how you say it. But and they are excited. I mean, I've seen him mentioned by fans as someone we should be tracking. So you can see the excitement. But it's a lot of money because we've invested a lot in Saliba. Everyone's saying he is the next De Ligt. You know, he's the future of Arsenal. And to spend 70 million on someone when you have got so much confidence, and I think the manager does have confidence in them in holding. I think that's a huge.
But that's
decision.
The thing. If we're looking at paying 50 to 70, that shows you the critical nature of the situation.
But if holding is ready in 2 weeks' time or 3 weeks' time, what Matt's saying is, could you risk Socrates and Chambers for Burnley and Newcastle and Burnley, for example?
But we finished the season away from home terribly.
Sorry.
That's another thing. We finished the season away from home terribly.
Yeah.
Do we have any confidence?
Which season? Last season or the season before? Yeah.
You know, do we have any confidence that we can go up to Newcastle and win?
I think the confidence Arsenal is that we're going to score more goals than you. I don't think it's a case of not conceding. I think it's a case of we'll score more. Yes, I think we'll win at St James's Park. Yeah, don't you?
I'm not sure.
Okay. I think the other problem as well in having that faith with holding and then holding out for Saliba next season. Holding's 23 at the moment. Mm-hmm. Saliba is 20, 21, slightly
19,
younger, 19.
18, 19.
So then you've got two very young centre backs as your the linchpin of your defence.
Yeah, but Socrates will still be there.
Yeah, with not a lot of experience as well. Not a lot of game time experience, actual experience between them. And that's why I wouldn't be surprised if... I mean, I would love Dayot to come in. I'm not going to lie about it. I would love it.
Yeah.
Our mate has been going on about him for a season.
He's not
or two,
alone. He's not alone.
You know, and I have no problem. Because as we were talking about earlier, you know, the prices for centre-halves these days, we're investing. People are paying for the ceiling. What their ceiling could be. They're not paying for, you know, what they are now. And I think his ceiling is very, very high.
It's a sad state of affairs that a club like Arsenal would be buying because of the sell-on value later down the line. But then we've criticised Arsenal for not being astute in the business sense, so you can't really argue.
And I think what it also does is appease fans in a positive way, because if you don't sign anyone and we see some defensive frailties like we already have done, and we see a bit of a shambles in that first month, it's going to be carnage.
Yeah. Mm.
All the claws are going to be out for Emery. If he does sign someone and this still happens, he's got the backup and said, well, you know, we've got the defender there. You know, so I think if you do sign someone, it finishes off the transfer window nicely. If you get Tierney as well.
I think it would be easier for everyone if Tierney was fit to start the season.
Yeah.
So I think we will sign Tierney this week. I mean, I'm still very confident.
Is he 8 weeks behind, apparently?
Yeah, so if you were bringing in Tierney to play left back, and then you were just waiting for Bellerin and Holding, you could probably, if you had two good, if you had a good Socrates and a good Tierney, but we're not, you know, so we're not going to have, we would effectively be starting the season with only one of our first choice back four.
Mm.
If Tierney's, you know, Bellerin's November, Tierney's end of September.
Mm.
You know, so everyone's holding out on this show. It's the holding. Everything's holding. But that is a problem. If Tierney was fully fit, who do you think you'll start with, Kolasinac or Monreal?
He went with Monreal last night. I wouldn't be surprised if he starts with Monreal on Saturday.
If it's a flat back four, definitely. Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely. What will that flat back four be? And will anyone else come in before the window closes? Just a few days now before that window slams shut, as Dave Seeger said. Right after this, all about Arsenal's away form.
Love Sport.
This is Love Sport. You're listening to the Arsenal Fan Show. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the guys from Gunnerstown, Dave Seeger and Giles Anyam. Right, chaps, we are going to move on to the topic about Arsenal's away form. Over the past few seasons, it's not been the best. I'm going to read out some stats.
Oh, he's done his research.
We've got some stats, all right? So, last season, won 7 away. Worst in the top six. Actually, worse than Palace and Leicester as well. Previous season, won 4 away. Again, the worst out of the top six. And the season prior to that, 2016-17, won 9 away. Still the worst in the top six, but it was a tough campaign. On the flip side, it's always counteracted by the home form, right? Last season won 14 at home. Only the top two in Liverpool and City were better. The previous season won 15 at home. Only United and City, the top two, were better. And the previous season before that, 14 at home. Only Chelsea and Spurs, the top two, were better. So what do Arsenal need to do to sort out the trials on their travels?
Trials and tribulations. This is the key point for Emery. We struggled towards the back end of the season really badly away from home, and I've not seen enough to suggest that I'm certain that he's managed to find a solution to that. As you said before the break, Dave, we've got one recognised first choice centre or defender who will probably start on Saturday. So I haven't seen anything to suggest that there's a workaround or a workable solution at the moment.
Well, you're talking about for the first few games, but yeah, so I tend to agree. I do think he's going to have a bigger squad overall that he trusts. So I don't think the change will necessarily be in the defensive personnel. I think what he'll do is he'll have more flexibility to change formations in home and away games. And I think you might see, for example, you might see 4-2-3-1 at home, but you might see 4-3-3 away with, with Ozil missing out, just to have a more solid central midfield. So I think the solutions might be not actually in the defenders. It might be in the team structure.
The best form of defence is the attack then.
Yeah. Possibly. But also just have I think the 4-3-3 will suit us if we're going to have Pepe and Aubameyang either side of Lacazette. But the three is also having three all recognised central midfield players rather than having Ozil in a 4-2-3-1 who doesn't help defensively, and maybe like a Nelson who maybe is untested defensively. I think that might be the way he sets up away from home, or he may revert to the three, which I don't want to see, really.
One thing that's always worried a lot of the guys that follow the stats, and one thing I saw last night was we conceded 10 shots on goal last night. That's a lot. You know, we generally concede in the top half, or at least the top six or seven, we concede a lot of shots on target. So I haven't seen anything to suggest that he's got a handle on it. You know, because as we saw in the beginning of last season, there were a lot of shots conceded on target, but we kind of got away with it, and then it turned. And then I think what they call it regressed to the mean, and then we started conceding goals and whatnot, and, you know, the form turned. So, you know, That's where he's got to try and work out, how to right the wrongs.
I think he needs to. Well, we will see it. Hopefully, we'll see it slightly different when Lucas Torreira's back in the side.
He's had a season, so
yeah, he's had a full season. Yeah. I mean, the season before he signed for us, he'd only played 25 games the season before for Sampdoria.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a massive. Mm. I mean, he was eased in, wasn't he? He didn't start a game until about the fifth or sixth Premier League game of the season. And then he was obviously tired at the end of the season, very emotional at the Europa League final. There's been noises about him not being happy in London. He's back in training. He looks happy. And I just think we need to use him as all the fans want to see him used. I mean, last year, sometimes he was more advanced than Xhaka.
Yeah, he was,
And I really think we need to say, right, you just sit in front of the back four and patrol it.
And I think that's the reason why we've got probably someone like Ceballos, because we want him to play his role. Because last season, he was playing at least two roles. Mm. You know, he was asked to push forward and augment or supplement the pressing of the attack, and then also get back.
I'm surprised that no one's actually picked. I mean, maybe they have, and I've missed it, but on Twitter I haven't seen it. That the possibility of Torreira Ceballos is very, very Coquelin Santi, isn't it?
Yeah.
Obviously a superior Coquelin in Torreira, but remains to be seen. Yeah. But very similar sort of players. I mean, you see, even the moves of Ceballos are the same as Santi's, and the way he can wriggle out of tight situations.
Very fluid.
And I just think in a two, I would love it to be those two. But I worry that Emery's always going to play Xhaka.
I think, and we spoke about this a bit last week, I really think Dani Ceballos is going to be a massive hit.
Yeah.
I just think, like you said, the way he can wriggle out of situations, you saw it again against Barca, just his dynamism, the fact that he can drop a shoulder and go, and that is enough in itself to lift the crowd, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Definitely, yeah. And we just haven't had that sort of player since Antti.
Very fluid player.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously, not everybody was in favour of the Coquelin Santi formation, but away from home, we were so solid that season. We went up to Man City and won, we went to Man United and drew, we went to Liverpool and drew. Yeah. I mean, we just looked solid with those two. Okay, it meant Ramsey had to play out of position and some people weren't happy about that, but they just had a solidity, and it was that ability with Santi, and I think Ceballos is the same thing, is to play, you know, facing your goal, but no one knows which way you're going to turn because you're that skillful. And Cazorla had that. We've not had anyone. You know, it's so easy to press someone when you know they're one-footed. Yeah. Ceballos has just got it. You know, he's got it all.
Yeah. I don't know. I think he'll ease in Ceballos. I think he'll ease because he's only had the game against
But that signing and the Pepe signing does suggest to me he might look at 4-3-3 though, because I think, you know, when you've got, if it's Shaka, Torreira and Ceballos, then like how should I be saying that?
Sorry?
Ceballos.
Ceballos, Shaka and Torreira or Guendouzi or Willock. You know, five into, we're going to ignore El Neni for this calculation. So any five into those three, that's very solid compared to last year.
Absolutely. There's been an upgrade.
And then you could have two wide players and Lacazette in the middle.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he does go for the three-pronged attack. I mean, everyone suggests that it'll be Lacazette dropping deep and then having, you know, the split strikers in Pepe and thing. But I wonder if he's going to do that.
I can't see that.
I think one of them's going to miss out quite regularly.
Well, it's interesting that
he plays Aubameyang Malen.
You're questioning whether he's going to do that. You're questioning whether he's going to go with Torreira and Ceballos. So you've got options now. This is the good thing about Arsenal. I think, like you say, if you just get that centre back just to lift the optimism ahead of the new campaign, suddenly Arsenal have becoming quite a frightening prospect.
Well, I think certainly if I was Tottenham or Chelsea or probably even Man United, I'd be looking at Arsenal thinking they've done good business. I think they've done good business so far. They know, then everyone knows we need to do a little bit more, but I think it's just nice as an Arsenal fan to sign someone that everyone else wanted to sign. That hasn't happened at Arsenal for so long. Pepe was just, you know, other teams wanted him. His agent said the Lille people said he was wanted by other big sides, bigger than us right now in world football and Champions League sides. And he chose us. And Ceballos the same. You know, he chose us over Tottenham. So.
And actually, we should mention, because last week it wasn't 100% confirmed that Pepe was going to be an Arsenal player. He since has been revealed. Yeah. And it's lovely. I mean, I was reading a great article on the Arsenal website where he had, you know, spoken quite openly about his rags to riches story, you know, grew up in Africa, and it was very much a case of walking 10 kilometres in bare feet to get supplies for the family. The fact that he started playing in goal, the fact that he used to be a bit of a tearaway, but he looked up to the likes of Didier Drogba, he looked up to the likes of the Ivorians who played for Arsenal, and that played a massive factor in him coming to the Emirates.
All down to Jovinho.
Yeah. Well, he mentioned Jovinho, he name-checked him.
I know. Funny thing is, I did a jokey tweet earlier that day about that, saying it's nothing to do with Wenger talking to him, it's definitely down to Big G. And everyone was like, oh, and then he actually said it in an interview as well.
It wouldn't surprise me if he's spoken to those guys. Oh, right? Absolutely. Yeah.
He'll probably have access to those guys. I mean, Kola Torre is part of the Ivorian coaching staff, though.
He probably spoke to his co-striker Wilfried Sahara, who probably said, they're my boyhood club.
Yeah, of course.
Well, they were away together for about 5 or 6 weeks. Yeah.
I'm very excited about the prospect of him putting on an Arsenal shirt. I think he gives us the X factor, you know. And as somebody said, you know, he just like Alexis, he does give the ball away. He does, but Mavericks will frustrate. But the good thing about him is they have the self-confidence to demand the ball and go again. And,
well,
you know,
if he has the impact that Alexis had in his first season, we'll be happy. The difference with Alexis, the longer he stayed at Arsenal, the more he cut inside.
Yeah,
when he first came, he was willing to go on the outside and take the fullback on and more like a winger, which I think Pep, we haven't had that. But even towards the end of Alexis, we didn't have that. He stopped doing it. And now we've not only got Pepe, we've got Sacco who's pushing, and we've got Reece Nelson who's pushing. We've got a lot of players who are willing to run at players. You know, since the Ox left and Alexis left, we haven't had that in the squad.
And you've got someone who's hungry as well. I think that's the really key thing about this transfer as well, is that he's not made it to the big time yet. This is a real step up for him, and he wants to prove it. You often see with a lot of problems when United sign a player, some of these big clubs sign a player, they've already done it. Paul Pogba went and won the World Cup, he's already done it. Pepe is hungry, he wants to show the world what he can do.
I haven't said this on social media either. I was thinking about writing about it. The last player who came out of the French league from a relatively not a big club with those sort of numbers, Aubameyang.
Was it?
When he went to Dortmund. Yeah. Right. Aubameyang had scored 20 odd goals in that season. And everyone, he's looked the numbers, this young lad. And the next thing, Dortmund had snapped him up, and then the rest is history. Mm. He's scored 20, 30 goals every season since.
It looks like he's going to do it again, on his pre-season form. Yeah. Just incredible.
What is the situation with Lacazette, by the way? We're talking about formations for Sunday. Is he going to be fit?
They're assessing him, isn't it? Because he went off 10 minutes in the Lyon game at the end. And,
So that make a big difference to the starting lineup as well.
Just quickly going back to finish this segment off on the away form. The fact that your first four away games, in two of those you've got Liverpool and United. It's not the easiest opening, is it?
It's not at all. And we cannot afford to to mess up. We can't afford to drop points.
It's why that Newcastle game suddenly becomes very important, doesn't
Extremely
it?
Extremely important. We've got to start off on the right foot. And, you know, looking at Newcastle, I mean, they've got their problems, but they've got that Joe Linton, they've got Almiron, they've got Sam Maximum. That's quite a talented and unpredictable front line. Mm. You know, are we going to be able
to... But Lascelles is still out injured. I mean, they've got problems at the back.
Well, Lejeune and who's the other guy?
Fabien Schär.
They've actually got a solid central defence, actually. Yeah. Their defence is quite, you know...
They were playing three at the back, weren't they, under Benitez?
But I think Laurie said that they kind of he was switching from three to four or whatever, but their defence is quite solid. Their attack is unpredictable. We don't know what they're going to do. They could light the touch paper, or they could actually bomb. But you know, their first game of the season is going to be really, really.
That's a gamble, Joe Linton. Though he hasn't exactly got the numbers in generally.
No, but as Laurie said, your producer, he said that he could fluke it. He could fluke his way to being a really good signing. You know.
So. Yeah, they are going to be an unpredictable beast, Newcastle. That fixture is really a fascinating one. Right, up next, we are going to discuss Willock, Nelson and Nketiah, who has developed the most.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is Love Sport.
This is the Arsenal Fan Show on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the guys from Gunnerstown, Dave Seager and Giles Anyam. We're halfway through now, and I'm delighted to say we've got James Benge on the line, Arsenal correspondent for Football London. We're going to be discussing who's furthest on in their development, Joe Willock, Rhys Nelson or Eddie Nketiah. James, what are your thoughts on this one?
A tough one to tell, really. I think the signs from pre-season are that Joe Willock is kind of coming on leaps and bounds of late. He looks really at home playing in, you know, any position in midfield. He brings energy, he brings a sort of pressing style that Arsenal's midfield, aside from Torreira, really seems to lack of late. Nelson has been a bit more hit and miss, and then you have someone like Nketiah who's really shown he can cut the mustard at a good level. You know, whenever chances come his way, he certainly gets close to them, and he's always getting in a position to have the opportunity to score, even if he's not always finishing them. So, it's a really tough one to call. I kind of think that if you were saying who's going to make the most immediate impact this season, I would probably go for Willock. I think he looks more of a sort of ready-made Premier League player, perhaps, than Nelson and Nketiah.
You were in America, weren't you, with the team?
Yeah.
James, so it's David, by the way. And so, I mean, Nelson was quiet in the first few games in America, but then I think he's come alive since. I guess the reason why people are a bit worried for Nelson is obviously he's almost like in direct competition probably with Pepe now this season. And there are people obviously saying, oh, he could be a make-weight in a loan, you know, in a deal, you know, whether it was Sahar they were talking about, and now whether it's Dayot, you know, or he could go on loan, go back to Germany. It seems like the Arsenal fans have suddenly switched their affections away from Nelson towards Willock, just in the space of about 3 or 4 weeks, really.
I mean, that is Arsenal fans for you, I might say. They're a bit of a fickle bunch. Yeah, I think there's certainly a degree of truth in that. I also think kind of when you see someone like Nelson from afar and you only see the sort of clips of the goals from Hoffenheim, it all looks fantastic, doesn't it? But actually, he wasn't getting regular game time by the end of that loan spell. And
no, he really wasn't.
Emery himself basically said, he didn't specifically name Nelson, but he said he'd sent players on loan who he'd expected to play more than they did. So I kind of think Nelson still looks a little bit raw. That sort of wing player as well, they're not players that Arsenal fans have historically had a huge amount of patience with. And you're right to say, you know, Pepe's ahead of him. And then on the other flank, you've got Saka, who to me, kind of throughout pre-season, has looked a more finished article, even though he's a significantly younger than
really?
Than Nelson. So, yeah, I mean, my personal view on this is that, you know, is Rhys Nelson going to be a fantastic player? Yes, probably, but he's a valuable asset and one that I might look to cash in on if I were in Arsenal's position. They've got more wide options than they know what to do with, and I think you get a decent, whether it's, you know, whether it's putting him in a loan deal or whether it's, you know, selling him permanently. I mean,
haven't we just done that with Amici, though? I mean,
yeah, that was very poorly managed by the club. I think I can't believe they only got $2 million for him. I think if you sell Nelson, well, you could be talking in excess of £10 million. And I think, do you really see a pathway to the first team for him with Pepe, with Lacazette, with Saka? Again, this is my personal view, but yeah, I don't necessarily see it.
Well, I think if he can, if Emery gives him these more opportunities this season, he could ease Mkhitaryan out of the team for the end of the season. You know, Mkhitaryan really, really is becoming a liability.
Surely Pepe will play in the right where Mkhitaryan's been playing.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, ease Mkhitaryan out leaves more of a pathway for the other boys. You know, yeah. And I would say I know James has said that Saka looks like he's ahead of Reece, but I think Reece should be given a bit more.
No, I agree.
A bit more game time. I think he's got a lot to prove. I like the way he looked. I was watching him at the Emirates Cup and last night. What I like about him, he passes, he moves, he doesn't dwell on the ball. He's a
front-footed player.
Yeah, he really is front-footed. He wants to move into space, get the game moving forward. I think he's got a lot to prove, and I wouldn't like to see him being sold. I really hope that Emery's true to his word and gives the youngsters a chance, and I hope he's one of them. I think I agree with James saying that, you know, Willock is probably ahead of the others. He's a clearly ahead of, and I think he's possibly challenging with Guendouzi for that kind of first man up in midfield behind...
Smith Rowe's injury became a very unfortunate time for him because he was definitely ahead of at least two of those last season. What about, I saw your tweet today, James, that you think Bristol City are confident that they're going to land Nketiah on loan. For me, as a fan, observing that would be a crazy situation with only two recognised strikers. If at times we might even play with two strikers. So to have our third striker allowed to go on loan with no replacement would seem foolhardy.
Well, that's kind of my view on it as well. And I mean, I know that Emery sort of went to shut this down during the tour when Nketiah was playing really well. He said, I want to keep him around. But I also think there's a view within the club that how many kind of minutes is Nketiah going to get, and is that going to serve his development long-term? Because they see a long-term future for him at Arsenal. Now, Aubameyang and Lacazette will start pretty much every game, whether it's both of them or one of them. And then if they get injured, and this is a question I posed on Twitter, and I don't necessarily know what I think the answer to this is, but if they get injured, who are you going to play up front? Are you going to play Pepe? Are you going to sort of repurpose him as a centre forward, which is a role he's played before, or are you going to play Nketiah?
I voted Freddie.
I don't know the answer to that. But
he will get.
That,
I mean, you're talking at least six Europa League games and probably three in the Carling Cup where he's going to start. So it's not like he's not going to play, and he'll be coming off the bench in the Premier League. So he's going to get 9 or 10 starts between now and Christmas. I can understand it because last year he wasn't starting in those competitions. This year, I think he will.
Yeah, and I have to say, I'm really surprised by this, but the kind of the mood music coming out of Bristol City is that they think he's gonna join them, and I mean that's all I can kind of say. And I know that speaking to people close to Nketiah, I think that they're still kind of a bit unsure what's going to happen, and it is very odd that that's been allowed to slip into the final sort of 3 or 4 days of the window, and that there's still any degree of doubt as to whether or not he stays around the club. I mean, you know, I would probably keep him there because you can always reassess this situation in January. Mm. But look, if he does go out, I think he'd go to the Championship and do really well. And potentially that could be the making of him as well.
When you say that, what springs to my mind is then Emery's thinking he's going to go with one striker, one recognised striker, and the other one's going to be, he'll rotate them rather than play them together.
Or he plays three like Liverpool and plays Aubameyang wide left.
Mm.
But Aubameyang wide left, I don't know if that works. It doesn't work. He's much more effective down the middle.
I agree. But I think that's what's going to happen.
Let's see. If he lets Eddie go, it's really playing a dangerous game with those two. Like you said, if one of them goes down or both of them go down, you know, we haven't got any backup. Or, and I don't see this, but my other thought is, could there be somebody coming in on loan it as a backup striker. Again, that's a very far fetched thought, but Danny Welbeck's
been seeing it coming in the last few days. Yeah. I would
be surprised if they do let him go on loan this season. You know, just quickly, earlier on when we were in for Zaha, I heard that Reece Nelson was very, very willing to actually go to Crystal Palace as part of a swap deal to get the game time. Mm. I mean, that didn't materialise, but you know, there was a loan, an actual swap. Yeah, no, sorry, on loan, sorry. Oh. We pay money and then we'll give Reece Nelson them on loan. And I find that quite interesting. That for me, I said to myself, well, that means, you know, he doesn't see himself getting a lot of chances this season. So maybe you guys are right. Maybe, you know, Reece is quite far down the pecking order and he feels that he's ready to actually contribute and he wants to go somewhere where he can. So, you know.
James, just to also get your opinion and your knowledge, I suppose, on the rest of the transfer window and what you see happening in the next couple of days. We've spoken a lot already on the show about the centre-back situation and Deyu Upamecano. There's been talk about Rugani coming in as well. Have you heard anything? Do you think something is going to happen before the deadline's out?
I think something will happen. They're in the market for a left back and a centre back. I think it's all about structuring the deals. We all know that money's tight, even if they've done, I mean, remarkable work with the finances available to them. But I think what I've kind of heard and is that sort of increasingly the focus is on getting a really good quality centre back. Now that it looks like Laurent Koscielny will go, that opens up a squad space for at least one centre back. I don't know about Upamecano. I don't really know that much about him as a player, but I know that interest in Rugani is really long standing. I mean, I think I reported about it back in March that they like Rugani a lot, and I think potentially he's someone that you can go to Juventus and try and get in on loan. And a loan deal then does also mean you can potentially try and get Tierney done as well. I think from what I've read on this Upamecano deal, it would have to be another one where Raul Sanyei convinces his opposite numbers to take a little down payment up front. So I think if they could get a player in on loan, you know, to strengthen the defence, I think that would be a huge boost for them, particularly if they could do a two-year loan, get to 2021, and then the wage bill is so much freer.
Yeah.
James, Benj, that is wonderful.
Thanks very much, James, for joining us today, mate.
Thank you.
That was James Benj, Arsenal correspondent for Football London. Who is going to come in before the window ends? Daniel Rugani has been rumoured. Deyu Upamecano has been rumoured, as has Getafe's Gini Dakonam. We haven't mentioned him either. A 27-year-old, a regular in La Liga. More experience there, but you'd think it's probably going to be Rugani ahead of anyone else, you'd imagine, at the moment. Someone who could probably play anywhere on the pitch for Arsenal is this week's Legend of the Week.
See what your club legend was wearing at classicfootballshirts.co.uk. The place for football shirts.
Who is it, Dave?
It's Liam Brady.
It's Chippy himself.
There we go.
We could do the whole rest of the show on this and miss the last segment to do the man justice.
Yeah.
But it's for me, my boyhood hero when football wasn't, you know, wasn't really live on the television, just highlights growing up before I went to my first game. He was my hero, and he continued to be my first hero, you know, when I started going in 76, 77. And I never really fell out of love with him, even when he left the club. And I've been fortunate enough to meet him a few times as well. So,
do you think he left the club too early?
No, not for him. I mean, it was the right time for him. Yeah. I mean, he's a much bigger success than virtually, well, he's not British, but, you know, for people who've left these shores to go to Italy, he's probably up there in the top two or three most successful. I mean, he played successfully for four clubs. Yeah. He won Juventus the league and then was sold because they could only have one from Platini who was arriving. He was sold having, even the Juve fans didn't even believe he would actually try and score the penalty in the game that won the league, and he scored the penalty and won them the league, and then he was sold. The Juve fans were fuming about it.
Yeah.
But for us, he was the difference between a very average side and he just came through 16-17 in the first team, and then he just went to a whole different level. He just could do anything. He was an absolute magician on the ball, and he made an average side, you know, close to being a top of the table side, you know, three cup finals. But yeah, Amazing player.
There's always comparisons, isn't there, in today's football, when you say, gosh, that player would have walked into this side, or these players today aren't fit to lace the players of old boots. Liam Brady's the type of player you could imagine playing in today's current football, isn't
it? Like Santi. Santi was that sort of, you know, certain players. But if you, anyone of my age group, you know, anyone born in the 60s or earlier, maybe through to early 70s, if you ask them their greatest Arsenal 11, most of that 11 will be made up of players from the Wenger era, even of my, you know, there'll be certain players that might squeeze in. Rocastle would be one, Tony Adams obviously from the, and maybe Frank McClintock and some. Liam Brady will be in every single side. It will be Brady and Vieira in virtually everyone's central midfield.
You reckon?
I see it all the time. You know, anyone of my generation, it'll be Brady and Vieira, no question about it.
And he's also, in that era when players used to go abroad, doesn't happen so much now, although we're seeing a trend of young players going to Germany to further their development. But in an era where top British / Irish players were going abroad and being hugely successful in the Italian league.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was, I mean, at that time, there was Hateley went out, there was Luther Blissett, Ian Rush, but not many did it over, I mean, Ray Wilkins, Souness, but he did it at four clubs. I mean, including two of the giants, you know, Juve and, you know, and Inter. Sampdoria, when they were just coming to the top, and then I think it was Ascoli at the end. But and then he came back to West Ham. Were you at the game when he came back? Because I've never seen anyone. He walked around the pitch crying. The whole of Highbury was just singing, Brady, 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 born as the king of Highbury. And literally, the West Ham fans were just staring. I couldn't believe it.
You know. Was any part of you surprised that he flirted with management, Celtic and Brighton, didn't really do anything? Is it surprising that these players don't actually transfer their skills into management?
I'm not surprised he tried his hand at that side of the game. I was surprised that he wasn't really successful.
Having had the privilege of meeting him a couple of times, he's not a great communicator. He's not charismatic in the sense that you think he would inspire players. Knowledgeable, you know, deep, you know, but deep voice like Pat Jennings a bit, really surprisingly. But I didn't think he would be the greatest communicator with players. So I guess I'm not totally surprised at that.
He became a director of youth football.
Yeah, he ran our academy for years, and a lot of the young players, you know, like Will Shearer, a lot of players came through on his watch.
Okay, well, this week's
and still
legend,
an ambassador for the
still
club.
An ambassador, absolutely. This week's legend of the week, Liam Brady.
See what your club legend was wearing at classicfootballshirts.co.uk. The place for football shirts. Love Sport.
Oh, we got a trailer.
We've got a trailer for the opposition for you. This is Love Sport. You're listening to the Arsenal Fan Show. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the guys from Gunnerstown, Dave Seager and Giles Anyam. Just before we carry on, Dave Seager has pointed quite frantically to the screen there because there was a picture of Harry Maguire next to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. How did you describe them, Dave?
Beavis and Butthead.
Beavis and Butthead. There we go. Nice.
Only because he's got a very large head.
Solskjaer and Slabhead. I suppose that's what it could be. This is the opposition view because on Sunday, Arsenal will be travelling to St James's Park to play Newcastle in the opening contest of their Premier League season. And joining us on the line now, I am delighted to say that Cal Halbert, Newcastle fan extraordinaire and Love Sport presenter Halbert.
Is it?
Yeah, it's Halbert.
Well, yeah. I've been calling him Herbert for years.
Well, he is a bit of a
Herbert.
He is a
bit of a Herbert, yeah.
Cal, we are going to ask you whether you think Newcastle are going to get a result on Sunday.
A very good evening, guys. I hope you're well. I hope you're well. It is Halbert. I am a bit of a Herbert, yes, but yes, it is Halbert. I think it's a very, very apprehensive time for Newcastle fans, and the best word to describe all Newcastle fans at the moment is a bit confused. So we've got Steve Bruce in. He's not a very popular man to come in because, obviously, Sunderland manager. But Ashley's somehow found a load of money and started buying people. So do you know what? I would be very, very happy with a draw at home. And I'm going to be biased with the idea of St James's Park is a tough, tough place to come. The minute your guys are going to come out at St James's Park, they're going to be booed. They're going to be chanted against from the fans at St James's Park. There's very, very few more loyal fans than the North East and the Geordies. But, yeah, personally, I'd be very happy with a draw. But I do, this is such a wimpy, wussy thing to say, but I do see it going your way.
Interesting. How has your pre-season gone? I mean, what have you learnt from this team that Stevie Bruce has put together?
Well, to be honest with you, we haven't really learned a lot because a lot of our pre-season was in the Asian Trophy, where we got absolutely thrashed by Wolves. And I was very, very frustrated watching that because it wasn't a case of Newcastle playing... it wasn't a case of Wolves playing well. It was a case of Newcastle playing completely horrendously. But when Steve Bruce went over to China and he didn't have a work visa, so he couldn't technically manage the club. So he was advising from the stands. And we beat West Ham 1-0. And it was a better performance from a Newcastle side. However... It is looking a positive way, but still, I'm very, very apprehensive. And I'm still a lot of us Geordie fans are still a little bit hungover from the fact that Rafa's gone. So we don't really know. We're not really looking too much forward. And I said this before, and I've said this to Matt before, and I've said this to Dave as well, in that I could 100% see Norwich taking Newcastle United's place in the Premier League this season. So it's going to be a very, very concerning season from a Newcastle point of view. And we really, really haven't got an easy start playing you guys. Admittedly, we're at home, but we're playing you guys on our first game of the season. So I think a positive for us would be a draw. Obviously, we want a win, but I think a draw is our best bet.
And presumably, from what I've seen, Cal, he's obviously Benitez finished last season mostly with a back three and wing backs. Steve Bruce is obviously without Lascelles, whether he's by choice, but he's not playing three at the back. He's playing two at the back. But, you know, Arsenal obviously weak defensively, very, very potent going forward. Is the new back line that he's been playing with? I don't even know who's been playing fullbacks for you guys. I know, I assume it's Cher and Lejeune in the middle, but are they up to the task of dealing with Lacazette and Aubameyang?
Well, if I'm totally honest with you, in short, no. In long, we don't know. You know what I mean? They haven't had enough time to work in this formation. We haven't really had a lot of time with Steve Bruce. We don't really know what's happening. And as I say, it's all still a bit up in the air. Steve Bruce has moved in. And, I mean, it is a really, really difficult thing because we are bringing in a very, very... From what I can gather and from what I'm looking at is we've got a very, very strong attacking force coming in at Newcastle now. So that could be, given the chance for Newcastle, we could get a goal or two against you with your weak defence. However, it's exactly the same way round. So in some ways, on paper, football's not played on paper, if you want a cliche. It is, on paper, it's a very, very interesting game to watch.
Cal, if we look at the stats, and listen, we love a stat every so often, but that great game, the 4-4, Chiquiote smashing in that equaliser in 2011.
No recollection.
Can't remember that, guys. If we look at results since then, and I'm pretty sure you'll remember these, Dave, the record stands, Cal. Drawn one, lost one. Drawn one, won one, lost five.
Yeah, we have done well the last few years.
Yeah, you have. You have, absolutely. And I think without poo-pooing your results, I think that is a state of what Newcastle United is, really, more than anything. And I think it's a real shame that Newcastle is in the state that it's in with an owner that doesn't want to invest. However, every single one of my arguments that I've had against Mike Ashley and against what's happening at the club seem to have been turning round in this transfer season because he is spending money now and he is buying people. Okay, not the amounts of money that he should be spending to match the guys, to match the top guys, but he is spending money and he is bringing people in. So, but all odds are pointing in a win in your favour. However, I do still stand by this thing of the Newcastle United St James's Park fan base is so huge, so huge, and it is a daunting thing for any team to come up to St James's Park and play in Newcastle. However, there is word in Newcastle about of a walkout and a stanza saying we're not turning up to the first game of the season. So again, I'm really sorry, I'm not giving you very much information here. It's very much a case of I don't really know. Want to win,
I heard today you're buying someone called Jack Wills, but I don't know where he plays.
I was waiting to see how long that one would take, and I knew it would be Mr. Seeger to be the one that would say it. 13 million.
It would be Seeger.
Pretty cheap.
30 million would be a you broke your record signing last year after, was it Mike Owen? It was about 10 years before,
Mike
wasn't
Owen.
It?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, God.
Yeah, it was Mike Owen. It gone are the years of Newcastle United setting the world record of 50 million with Alan Shearer. Do you know what I mean? And it's taken as it was Almiron, 20.6 million, I believe it was. Certainly around the 20 million mark that was the smash of the record for Mike Owen. And we've just spent around 14, 15 million on a new player as well. His name escapes me off the top of my head now.
Joel Linton.
Joel Linton.
Maximum.
Yes, yes, yeah.
Oh, the French
player. Maximum was about 14, 14 million or so.
Right, Cal, before you go, mate, we've got to push you a prediction, please. Now, don't sit on the fence here. I want an actual result.
I'm going to go 2-1 Arsenal.
Oh, okay. Nice and optimistic there, mate.
I know. Look, do you want me to be optimistic or realistic? Do you know what I mean? That's the thing. Okay, what I want, my heart says 2-0 Newcastle. My brain says 2-1 Arsenal.
And we know Andy Murray's an Arsenal fan, so what does he think?
I think it'll be a nice 0-0. That's what it'll be. A 0-0. 0-0.
Brilliant.
Whereas Donald is a big Newcastle fan and he says it's going to be 10-0 to Newcastle Ham United. I think they're fantastic.
Didn't even have to ask him to do the Trump. Cal Halbert, thank you very much for joining
My
us.
Pleasure. My pleasure.
That was Cal Halbert, Love Sport presenter, giving us his prediction on the Arsenal-Newcastle game. First game of the season. Fellas, before we go, prediction from yourselves.
I'm going to
formation
change.
And score.
Formation 4-2-3-1. Score. Arsenal will win 2-1.
Yeah, I think 4-2-3-1. Yeah. I think he will start Ozil away from home in this particular first game. I think it'll be 4-2-3-1, and I think Arsenal win 3-1.
Brilliant. Optimism. That is what we want to hear, chaps. Right, this has been the Arsenal Fan Show on Love Sport. Myself, Matt Beadle, joined by the guys from Gunnerstown, Giles Anyam, Dave Seeger. We'll see you same time next week.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.